This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Hello, America and rest of the world, the 13% that is the rest of the world that make up our audience. Steve, did you know that only 7% of our audience is female?
What statistic did that come from? Numbers were you looking at?
VidIQ
analytics.
VidIQ, really?
Yeah.
You know that kind of makes sense, I guess. I mean, by looking at the live feed, I know most of the people, and most of them already are male. So our demographic probably does tend more to males, but we need to change that.
Non Sequitur is one big sausage party.
We need more boobs.
Not that I'm complaining. I'm okay with that, actually. So,
yeah, we actually have people in our live chat saying that they're only 70% male. So if we include the fact they might be 30% female, that ups our numbers among the female demographics quite considerably.
Well, it is 2018. No one can tell you what you are anymore. So. Unless you're Steve McRae, and then, well, we know how that turned out.
Yeah, nobody tells me anything about who I am. I tell you.
So first things first, can everyone hear us okay? Do we seem to be in sync and I'll set that.
We have sounding decent. Audio and video sync today. Steve, your face looks weird. Okay.
Okay.
Come on. A bit like a wizard.
Everything is back to normal then. Fantastic. Okay, so... Let's take care of first. We were supposed to have King Crocoduck and Rick Duano. There was some scheduling issues, and that's going to be rescheduled until next month. So we apologize for that, but it was very last minute. We have been scrambling around like crazy these past couple hours. Dave is actually going on an interview today, so we're down our producer. We were down our show, our original show, and Steve and I, it's a miracle that we have made it and only like 9 minutes late. So I'm pretty happy about that. So good job, Steve.
Yeah, I haven't produced a show in ages, so this is like trying to ride a bicycle again. So hopefully I can do it.
It's going to be an agnostically produced show, which means he doesn't care which way it goes either way.
Just like him.
Exactly.
No, I kind of care which way I go.
So before we jump into what we've got coming up, Steve, you want to go ahead and do a quick introduction of our guest tonight?
Sure. We got Chaz Underhill. He is a friend of mine from Facebook. He's a long-time, old-school, old-guard YouTuber that's been around since, like, YouTube actually even came on the scene, I think. I mean, he's one of the original people.
I'm not that original.
You're pretty damn old, man.
Yeah.
But original?
Yeah. He was definitely on BK times.
Lord.
So he's been a friend of mine for a while, and he actually takes a very different approach to what we take as far as the Alex Jones controversy. And so I got a hold of him on Facebook and kind of brought him in to get his point of view on it. Because obviously we have said our points of view on it on my channel. That turned into a dumpster fire. Big time. I don't know what's going to happen on this one. We do have space for rent. We are trying to get some opposition for Chaz in here, but then I don't want to gang up on him like 3-on-1. But we'll see where it goes.
If you're out there and you have a feeling towards that Alex Jones should not have been platform, send Steve a message in the live chat, and we'll see about maybe getting you on. But to start out, we've got a at the end of the upcoming shows, we've got a little bit of an announcement that we're going to make. And tonight's just going to be kind of a free-flowing thing. Like I said, we had a show planned that didn't work out, and this is last minute. So we're just going to kind of touch on something that we feel is topical and in some cases misunderstood and misconstrued to be something else. So we're going to try to dive into that. Steve alluded to the fact that we tried this on his channel and it turned into a complete dumpster fire. So we're going to try again and see if we can't fix those points. But yeah, just hang with us. It's going to be a chill night. Nothing crazy, especially after last night. Last night was off the chain, and that was 4 hours of streaming and laughing and listening to some of the just most outlandish things I've ever heard in my life, and I'm still tired from it. So we're going to go a little easy tonight. So
one of the best show after show combinations I think we've had that integrated perfectly.
Absolutely. Okay, so this is in video form tonight. I'm going to go ahead and push play, Steve, and you let me know when you're doing the same. Okay, so tomorrow is going to be Exoplanets with John Kroon. He's going to be coming to take us through the recent discoveries of exoplanets and the possibility of life with the Drake Equation. First Amendment Auditors on Friday. Aaron Ross is going to be joining us for that. And that's going to be with Black Label Cop Watch. That's at 8 p.m. On Monday, Dr. Griffith will be back with us to talk about the anniversary of the 50th anniversary of the Soviet-led invasion of Czechoslovakia. On the 22nd, Jamie Sislow will be doing a presentation on how we get rights and liberties confused. That's at 8 p.m. Eastern. And then on the 23rd, Nate Talks to You will be having a conversation with the Feminist Next Door on is feminism necessary in society today to make change. On the 28th, we'll be joined by Cy Tim Brugenkate and Raul Cardona at 8 p.m. Eastern as well. And then on August the 30th, Armored Skeptic will be making an appearance here, and we will be giving you hints on that topic as we get closer. Don't forget that MythCon will be September the 22nd, 2018. Make sure you get your tickets. We will be giving away tickets on Friday show with Aaron while he's here. So check that out. Woo!
That was actually perfect timing. I'm impressed. You guys on the outside may not realize this, but he was not looking at those slides as I was showing them. So he was doing that on his local end. That's impressive.
You
nailed it. I mean, like each transition.
I've been practicing it. I got them down to 10 and a half seconds. And yeah, the things I do for you. America and rest of the world. Things I do for you. Okay. What else do we have? Oh, yes. So, in trying to figure out what we were going to do tonight, what were we going to talk about? Obviously, the Alex Jones situation is fresh on everybody's mind. It's coming up a lot, or especially around YouTube. You're starting to see some content creators are getting either shadow banned or they're getting strikes, they're getting censored. All across the board, it seems like that opened a floodgate. So I feel like this is a topic that is not only important, but necessary for us to have a conversation about. And in getting ready for tonight, we wanted to find some people to come on and give their opinions, because the main thing that I was seeing is that people are confusing this for a First Amendment issue, which it's not. And so I wanted to get a couple different ideas to come together tonight and talk about that. Well, out of the blue, I was looking through my Twitter feed, and I noticed that a Kelly Jones had tweeted at me a kind of like a press release about a book. And lo and behold, it was the former Miss Alex Jones herself. And so I told her that we would love to have her come on and hear her story. She said, okay, send me a DM, which I did. And so sometime in the near future, we will be having the former ex-wife of Alex Jones on here to talk about her custody war. And I'm sure all of the crazy antics and just, I mean, Steve, you got to know that's a wild ride that she took.
Yeah, no, I actually feel sorry for her. Like I said, I don't keep track of a lot of that. I am not obviously an Alex Jones fan to begin with, so I don't watch any of his stuff. But I'm sure just by seeing his online personage, what a total nutter that he is, I can imagine what she had to deal with in real life.
Yeah, so that's exciting. So sometime I sent her the DM. We're going to work out the details, but sometime in the near future, we will have the former Miss.
I actually feel sorry for her.
Tell her story. So that is definitely exciting. So that makes tonight even more enjoyable, I think. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to run through basically a overview. I did it the other night. I think I did it on your channel, Steve. But just the factual basis, no opinion, just the timeline of what happened with Alex Jones, and then we will kind of dive right in. And like I said, if you have a strong opinion that he shouldn't be, let us know, and we'll see if we can't get your voice in here, her too. But basically, on the on August the 5th and the 6th, between August the 5th and the 6th, Apple, Facebook, and Spotify pulled Alex Jones from their playlists and their platforms. Apple acted first by pulling 5 of the 6 podcasts that Alex Jones had on. Facebook unpublished 4 pages that he had, and Spotify removed all traces of Alex Jones and InfoWars from their platform. Now, why did they do that? Well, all of these platforms claimed that he violated the terms of service, and more specifically, the hate speech clause. Facebook defines hate speech as a direct attack on people based on protected classes. YouTube defines hate speech as a dehumanizing speech, statements of inferiority, and being exclusive. And Apple doesn't really define hate speech, but it says that your content will be removed if statements can be misconstrued as racist, misogynist, or homophobic. So that resulted in Facebook, Facebook removed their content. YouTube, as far as YouTube videos, YouTube pulled down 2 videos for hate speech against Muslims, 1 against transgender people, and 1 for us. It showed pushing a child down to the ground. So child, harm. The platform, when you sign up for a platform, here's where I think that it's not so much a free speech issue. When you sign up for these platforms, and see if you can tell me if you think I'm wrong here or if you agree. Anytime somebody signs up for anything, the fine print, the little box that you have to tick right before that annoying little CAPTCHA comes up, you agree to the terms and service. So you know going in, or you're supposed to, nobody reads it, but you're supposed to know going in what exactly it will take to get you either deplatformed off of these things, what they expect, what they don't allow. So the fact that he agreed and it was defined and he clearly violated, according to them, which is their platform, I don't think that he has a case because he agreed what would happen if he violated those terms and service.
Right. Matter of fact, let me clarify one thing, by the way. She is not his former ex-wife because they didn't get remarried. People in the live chat are going nuts, and they're right. It's his former wife, right? Because they're...
What did I say?
You said former ex-wife, which was confusing to people. Yeah. Look, they're like, did they get back together again?
That's just me talking. No, that's just me.
The thing with the TOS, and the same thing with like a EULA where you have a game or something, we all know nobody kind of reads them, but you probably should every so often. But there are certain things like on YouTube that you are abiding by their terms of conditions and their terms of service, saying that by being on their platform, you're entering some kind of a contract with them that you have to abide by their rules. It's their platform. That's as simple as that. Now, I think most of the argument that we had the other night on my channel when we were talking about Alex Jones and stuff like that was dealing more with the fact, not so much did YouTube have a right to do it. I think everybody kind of agreed with that, but more so, should they have done it, right? So it wasn't, can they do it? I think everybody agreed they can, but the question was more, should they? Because can and should are different things, right? So I'm kind of curious where Chaz falls in line with that.
Well, I mean, from a legal standpoint, they can do. I mean, the First Amendment doesn't protect things that are privately owned. It's more concerned with what the government can and can't do. However, there's a reason why we have those concerns about the government limiting free speech. And then when we think of massive private companies that have a huge influence on the public sphere, similar to that of government, then the same thing has to apply there also. Because if you have them controlling the narrative, it's very, very easy for them to influence society in various ways. Now, when it comes to certain platforms that do cater to a kind of a public space, a kind of public marketplace of ideas, they shouldn't remove Alex Jones from that. You have a right to say, I don't want Alex Jones on my show. But to say Alex Jones doesn't have a right to be on YouTube, I think, takes things a step too far in giving these companies and whatever their political machinations are, the go-ahead to stifle people, whether it's for the concerns of ad revenue or whether it's for the concerns of some sort of moral righteousness.
So do you feel that that anybody should be able to come on and say whatever they want, or do you...
On a public marketplace of ideas, I mean, yes, you can sort of say there is some tolerance to, there is some intolerance to certain things, like showing child abuse, for instance, or, you know, YouTube having pornography on it, yeah? That we can understand why those are fair curtailments. But when it comes to expression of ideas, we have to be very, very careful, because when you use language like can be misconstrued, anything could be misconstrued. These, you know, that seems to give hate to a protected group. It's very ambiguous language. It can be used for whatever those companies need it to be. It's almost like where the government lately, thanks to things like the Dialectic Over Terrorism, have awarded themselves some very lovely powers to do things like spy on people in a violation of their, I think, is it the Fourth Amendment, the one about search and seizure?
Illegal search and seizure.
Yep. In violation of those, spying on their own citizens, which is a violation of what they're supposed to be doing, and all of this sort of stuff.
So you agree, though, that YouTube had every right within their terms of service to do what they did, right? That I don't think is that much of in dispute, is it?
They can.
They're well within their, yeah.
Then we have to be concerned with, if we sit back and we allow this in one regard and we go, yeah, because I don't like him, he's my preferred boogeyman. And then it's something that starts impacting on a lot more people. Like when this demonetization things first came about, and it seemed to be attacking mainly right-wing YouTubers at first. They were the first to express that it was happening. There were people from the left who were jeering on that situation. And now they don't like it because it's starting to affect their... Because YouTube doesn't care about politics. It Right. cares about ad revenue. Now, old media has always tried to control what goes on with social media because of how much social media is a threat to it, a way where we can think for ourselves.
Steve, I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't know you were...
That harms them. So when they started this whole demonetization sort of conversation with this, oh my God, there's people on YouTube that might say abhorrent things, some who are either not serious in what they say, and so you shouldn't take them seriously, and other people who are saying daft shit that you just shouldn't take seriously anyway. I mean, the problem is if you start making an example of somebody that's relatively harmless, like Alex Jones, you play into the narrative of the far right of, oh, you know, conservatives are being sensitized, you know, the right wing's under attack, and look, we've got this evidence, we've got this martyr. they just kind of martyred him on social media.
Yeah, Steve, do you know the quote, the exact like word verbiage that Alex Jones used in the like the transgender video or the Muslim video?
I've heard it. I don't have it at my fingertips. I know that he said something along the lines. Are you talking about the setting of the drag queens on fire?
Right.
Yeah, it's really vague in what he was actually advocating for them to do. It doesn't sound like, from what I remember, that he was directly saying, I want all you people listening to me to go out and do this. But it still seemed that he was definitely, by some kind of implicature, implying that that's what should be done, right? And to go back to real quick to Chaz's thing, the problem I'm having with what you're saying, though, is that, one, if you go to Alex Jones' own webpage, his webpage terms of service are not much different. They even say they can delete your account anytime, they can delete your comments, they can do whatever the hell they want. It's their platform. So people that have a platform that has a distribution of some sort that you're allowed to speak on their platform do have the final say in what they decide. Now, do I think that YouTube applies these things equally? No, I think they're arbitrary in how they do it. I don't understand what rationale they do from pick one thing to another. It makes no sense. Matter of fact, just the other day, Kyle and I were flabbergasted because the two videos we had yesterday initially were demonetized.
Right. And there was a part one and a part two of the same with Tim O'Neill. It was the same show. We just had a tech issue that split it into two parts, and one half was monetized, and the other half was monetized.
Well, you don't even think about that. I was actually talking about the situation we had yesterday with Trevor.
You're
right. We had it with the other time. We had two videos and we did this too. We did a test where we were just changing the settings, like literally just the DPI, and one of them was monetized, one of them was not.
I've learned that the words, if you use words like stupid or, you know, like derogatory words, it'll kick it into a so you have to get creative with
what did you say, like, I love YouTube like a million times.
But that's why I'm
sure you don't get demonetized.
But Chaz, let me ask you this, okay? So Steve just kind of made the example, like maybe he said something about setting drag queens on fire, but it wasn't like literally go out and set drag queens on fire. It was probably just an off comment that it was hyperbole, like a lot of people do. Like when they say, you know, I'm going to kill you, they don't literally mean they're going to kill you. But let's take that example just for a second. He almost did a similar thing with Pizzagate, where Pizzagate was a thing that he would talk about from time to time. And somebody took it upon themselves to walk into that pizza place and threatening to shoot it up. So there is an, like, his audience is the type that if they hit him on the right day, they would go and probably try to set a drag queen on fire. Not that he meant for that to happen, but if Facebook or YouTube sees that as, you know, they look at the Pizzagate thing and they're like, well, we don't want that to happen again. So this is probably a better move for the safety of everybody. No, and number two, the child endangerment thing, that did happen because he did put that video on there. So that alone, according to their terms of service, could cut him out. I mean, do you not think that they were right with those examples to deplatform him?
I don't agree with what he's done there. We do make mistakes, but there's a lot worse stuff than Alex Jones that goes on Facebook. I think it's more that Alex Jones has a fair bit of celebrity behind him, that he's the one that gets focused on more when he is actually the less of the concern. There's some way more dubious people involved with Facebook than people like Alex Jones.
Well, wait, that was going to be my second
Cambridge
point of contention.
That would be one thing I would say.
But Chaz, you had said that Alex Jones was like harmless, right? And you have this like narrative that there's other people that work. It's really like whataboutism, right? But the problem I'm having is that Alex Jones is not harmless. He has a very large audience. People do listen to him. There have been real world consequences for what he's spewing, right? And we all know, the rational people among us know, that everything he puts out in regards to these conspiracy theories is complete bollocks, right? I mean, no rational person takes Alex Jones seriously, but they're irrational.
I know,
will,
but people are less
and they
rational.
Go out and do things.
People are less rational these days.
Right, and that's even more disturbing, right? It's not the rational people.
But, you know, here's the thing. If we then look at that, Alex Jones is a symptom. He's not the cause.
It doesn't. That doesn't matter, though. I mean,
well, no, because if the same criticism you're saying there is he has real world implications. The same thing that could be leveled at yourselves. If some crazy person who's on the spectrum taking a bunch of pharmaceutical drugs, which can be doing all sorts of things to his brain chemistry, that they're not aware of because they're experimenting with different ones to find one that will fit. And he's watching your show and he decides one day to go into a church and gun down.
Here's the thing. Look at it. We've never advocated for anything of the sort, nor would we. And yet we're not advocating for any kind of conspiracy nuttery either.
Well, you don't,
right?
If
we're saying,
we're
look
very
at
nice to our Christian guests, we're not against like,
yeah,
not,
I'm not anti-Christian.
I'm not saying you would have to be. That's the thing. He wouldn't have to be.
But he spews things that he knows is factually incorrect.
To have an effect on somebody who's already crazy.
But Chaz, do you agree that, and you've known me for a long while, do you not agree that we try to put forth things that we believe to the best of our ability is true? We try to do our due diligence. We even correct ourselves on the show on the fly, right? I mean, we want to put out correct shit, right? You agree with that, Chaz?
There's going to be another 1776 and that we have to rise up against the Christians and... You know what I'm saying? They'll take it from our cold dead hands. His hyperbole
is off the charts.
Yeah, it's to whip up people. Yeah. Like we're not Steve and I aren't back here trying to whip up atheists to go hunt down.
Not even
nor
would
we ever. But there's a different tone. The tone I think is what is key here. His tone is that everybody is lying to you. You cannot trust anyone around you. And the government is trying to take everything that you have and turn this country into a socialist George Soros.
Well,
and he's lying about it because I don't believe he believes any of it.
Hold on. I mean, there's some things that Jones said which aren't entirely invalid. There is a concerted effort by a neoliberalist elite to not establish socialism. That would be stupid. But they do use the language of socialism as part of what they do, and it plays into this polarization. And this is the thing that we really need to be having the conversation about with regards to this and not Alex Jones himself, because we have such a polarized, and this is why I'm saying people aren't rational these days, we have such a polarized society. It's just been fed on sensationalism and dichotomies and tribalism, that you've got this kind of split between people and they're just arguing at each other. And everything is done in hyperbole. And that, you know, we're doing it already. Like Jones is just someone famous for doing it.
But yeah, you missed the point of the bigger picture though.
What you just
and this is one of the problems with social media as a whole. Social media has this habit of people concentrating themselves into echo chambers, into little clicks and drum circles and circle jerks of constant reinforcement.
I agree.
With things like the likes.
Yeah, I can't find fault with that either. But because, let me ask you a direct question, because I think we're kind of going down a little rabbit hole here.
I like it, though. Let's go down the rabbit hole.
I finish up.
I'm just saying, it's the exact same thing, Steve, that I was saying last night. Remember how I was saying that everybody's on the extremes now.
True, and I think there needs to be more moderate,
anymore.
Right?
And what you lose there is the ability to have a chat with somebody, like just a regular talk. It becomes response videos, yelling back and forth, the drama. It's all hyped up, and people lose that. And that's what we were talking about last night. Somebody was talking about the show and why it kicked off like it did. And it's just because we kind of toned it back to a time where you're able to have people who vehemently oppose each other, but are able to at least attempt to start with a civil conversation. Now, oftentimes it divulges into, you know, the dumpster fires that we have, but we at least try to have the conversation. But Alex Jones, Chaz, is the ringleader of that extreme. He is.
No, I think Alex Jones is a symptom of a much.
But that doesn't matter. You're, that's just taking away his the onus and of responsibility for his actions.
No, not at all.
Okay, do you think? Wait, do you think
a situation where we've got cuts to mental health services? We've got a situation where we've got medicine being basically dispensed on short 5 minutes with a doctor.
Okay, but that's not kind of what we're talking about, though.
Diagnostic medicine.
There's a lot of shit that the world has that sucks. Yes.
But if we don't, if we just ban Alex Jones, we're not really solving any issues.
Okay, but we can't solve all the world's problems. Let's focus on Alex Jones. Do you think that Alex Jones, do you think he has a moral responsibility for putting out disinformation, willfully putting out disinformation? Do you think there's an efficacy or moral issue that he has?
No, because...
No, really?
In and by itself, putting out misinformation...
Oh.
So lying and putting out misinformation is not a moral concern.
He does that on a daily basis.
Oh, you're saying that he doesn't lie?
No, I'm not saying he doesn't lie. Okay. I'm saying just somebody who tells lies in a video doesn't automatically make them a bad person. If somebody, let's say...
I don't know anything about him personally. Oh, by the way, we have somebody joining us.
Let's say Alex Jones is the biggest Poe in the world ever, yeah?
I'm going to be moving around the screens because we have Prometheus, the Prophet, joining us. So... Bear with
I get what you're saying, Chaz, but he's not just some guy on a video doing making up lies. He has over 6 million people that follow him and listen to him. And I think, at least to me, he has an elevated responsibility to not try to deceive those people, number one, but to purposely disseminate false information and information that hinges on their lying to you. And making people paranoid that already have those inclinations, I think is dangerous and irresponsible.
Again, is this not just a symptom of the fact that we don't teach proper critical thinking skills in schools? Is it not, again, a symptom of... The fact is, we do know the government's lying to us. We have evidence of them lying to us.
On some
we things, have yeah. on quite a few things. And... we've had, we've kind of been moved into these polar camps for this two-horse race because it's a much easier system to control. So it doesn't matter really what side you vote for, what colour ties are being worn by the people who make the decisions. They're still working for the same interests.
It's a broken political system.
It is. And this is the thing. You've now had a system where we've had a kind of like every 8 years in America, 12 years in England, you switch sides. So, you know, you had the Democrats, then you went Republican, then Democrat again for another 8 years, and now you go Republican, and you might do that for the next four years after that. And then after Trump, it's 8 years, you'll then go to whoever runs for the head of the Democrats. You know, and you're just going to have that constant back and forth. And everyone's realizing this is bollocks. It's not actually a democracy. It's an oligarchy. It's a plutocracy. And it's nonsense. And your vote really does mean bollocks all.
Well, let me grant you that he is, he's just a symptom. And, you know, he's not the cause. Deplatforming him is not going to solve all of those issues that you brought up. However,
no, it's the same with deplatforming Fox from Facebook or deplatforming the Daily Mail. Yeah.
But the thing is, he violated the terms that he agreed to in that contract that he when he signed up for those platforms.
So have they.
Facebook
is not going to be as quick to remove the a powerful news organization like the Daily Mail. Alex Jones might have a following of 6 million, but in terms of global marketplace, that is sweet fuck all. It's big for us to think about.
Sure.
Big for you and me to think about.
Those big companies that you're talking about, though, aren't probably going to do the things that Alex Jones did, which resulted in him violating the
Oh, I'm sorry. Have you ever actually looked at the Daily Mail?
Well, give me an example.
Right. The Daily Mail is pretty much Fox News in print, but worse. Over here in England.
Yeah, they're not considered a highly reputable source. I mean, I like the Daily Mail, but they're not the best source.
They may not be. I'm not saying that they are, but I'm saying where's an example of
them, dog whistle.
Yeah.
They stir and they dog whistle against Muslims and foreigners. They outright print lies. For instance, they're smearing the leader of the opposition, Jeremy Corbyn, at the moment, with an absolute lie and an absolute fabrication because the right party, the Tories, are in free fall at the moment. There's huge infighting. Brexit's not going very well for them.
Hold on 1 second, Chess. Hold that thought before we get too far gone. The lying part. Obviously, Facebook is not going to deplatform you for lying. If that was the case, Alex Jones would have been gone a long time ago. They just specifically said that he violated their hate speech clause.
Yeah, there was like originally four videos they had taken down.
It was two on hate speech against Muslims, one against transgender people, and then one showed them how to handle liberals or something like that, pushing a child to the ground. So they specifically targeted in on that example. It wasn't the lie thing, because I think if that was the case, there would be way more.
Well, I know you were saying lying's dangerous, and then again, the Daily Mail has way more.
Okay, but Daily Mail is not on YouTube, so I don't know why you keep bringing that
up. Oh, yes, they are. The Daily Mail has it.
Even still, lying is not.
They're on Facebook.
Hang on. There's nothing about
terms. They're one of the most shared news organizations.
Yeah,
on Facebook.
There's nothing on terms of service that says you can't lie on Facebook, on YouTube. Yeah, so that's a non-issue.
But when the stuff they're lying about has deep political implications, when they're dog whistling,
as long as it doesn't have any
stories about Muslims,
as long as it doesn't have acts of violence. Like the reason, look at Chaz. I think you're having a false analogy here. You allowed a lie for political reasons, even on Facebook or whatever. You could say whatever you want on that. That's not why he got removed. He got removed for hate speech because it was acts of violence.
And you're not listening. You interrupted me while I was saying that the Daily Mail dog whistles against Muslims. They print false stories about things that have happened. Like, there's a great one. This council had paid to replace the UV film over the windows at the local pool, because every few years they need to be replaced because they fade, right? And somehow it got into the news cycle that this was being done because of Muslim women had protested it to the council, and the council were placating for Muslims. And the Daily Mail, without near a thought to fact-checking, printed that article.
That's not
Chaz, do you know what the term whataboutism is? You're talking about whataboutism. You're saying, I'm not going to talk about Alex Jones, but what about the Daily Mail? I don't care about the Daily Mail. This is not about the Daily Mail.
Let me finish.
You can't use what about the Daily Mail to argue that Alex Jones shouldn't have been deplatformed. That's whataboutism. I'm not interested in the Daily Mail. What is it about Alex Jones that he should have stayed platform when he violated terms of service by I think most people would recognize as what hate speech is, or advocating of violence? What about Alex Jones specifically?
Let's take Prometheus in here for just a second.
Hold on one second, Chaz.
Let me get, because Prometheus is in here too, let me get his take, because he's been quiet for just a couple.
Yeah, welcome, Prometheus. I'm glad you figured out how to get in.
What do you think,
Prometheus? Yeah, sorry, I just didn't want to interrupt, guys. How's my audio?
Oh, dude, you sound good.
All right. Well, thank you. Well, you know, I'm not a fan of Alex Jones, but I do think that this does seem like it was a coordinated attempt to purge someone off the internet, because I find it very difficult to believe that all these companies would suddenly come to an agreement that, Alex Jones violated their terms of service all within 12 hours of each other. I mean, YouTube only had like one strike on InfoWars at the time, so they kind of bypassed the second and third strike.
Do you think he deserved it? Looking at it in the grand scheme of things, do you think that maybe he should have been, you know, deplatformed a long time ago? Or do you think what he says and what he, you know, kind of the hyperbole that he espouses upon is okay in that sphere? Just personally.
And do you think there's a coordinator? Do you think they actually got together and did this? Prometheus?
Sounds like that there was, it sounds like there was some collusion, especially if it happens 12 hours of each other.
Possible. I mean, and it would have bothered me, though, even if that was the case, right? If they got together and they said, hey, you know what, let's compare things, let's just think this over. They're big organizations. I don't mind if they do something like that. Now, they said, hey, we want to get rid of this guy. Let's find a way of doing it. That might be a little bit worse, right? Obviously, I don't think any organization would do that. Although, again, can they? Sure. I don't see why
it
not.
It could just be, Steve, though, the four videos that one of them kicked off just kicked them all off. You know what I mean? Like, it could be that.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. Right, exactly. I mean, it could have been like one or two things, and then everybody kind of said, oh, well, hey, yeah, we're going to back off from this, and we need to, you know. Right.
They're all about saving face. Like if Apple came out and said, look, these four videos violate our terms of service, they're hate speech, you know, Facebook's not going to be like, well, they look okay to us. You know, we're going to let what Apple deems as hate speech go by. They're going to be like, whoa, yep, that's definitely hate speech. Get rid of them.
Yeah.
It's an image thing.
Yeah. But it just seems like the timing is just what is suspicious to me. I mean, those videos were probably on there like a long while ago. So,
I fully grant that actually. You know, it is kind of odd, right? That they all kind of ganged up all at one time.
It just makes them look inept.
Like what, literally like 12 hours from each other or something. But still, is their decision just? Do you think that they made the right decision? And if not, why not? I mean, if you were the board of the directors for any of these people, or any of these companies, like you worked for YouTube and you were the muckety-muck high executive, and you have to be concerned not just for your shareholders and your board of directors and your consumers and mostly your advertisers, right? If you had to make the decision, hey, if this is going to affect our bottom line, what should we do? That's what they have to look at, right? As that's their obligation as being in charge of a private organization, even though it's publicly traded. YouTube is a private organization, but they're traded publicly. So do you think that if you were in charge, you would have made the same decision? If not, why?
Well, what I would have tried to do is I would have tried to figure out, like, what YouTube tried to do is they tried to create an algorithm to sort of steer, like, the advertisers away from that content and just try to make sure that the rest of the content is not affected. Although YouTube was pretty terrible at doing that, because that's pretty much what the adpocalypse started. So I really think that they should at least regard completely taking someone down as a complete last resort. I mean, we're talking about complete repeat offenders. I mean, if you're completely disregarding the terms of service, because like Twitter can, like, they right now they just suspended him for 7 days. So they didn't just completely ban him. But when they actually looked at TJ Kirk's tweet, they suddenly just decided, oh yeah, we're going to ban you. And it wasn't until like a bunch of people like spoke out and then got him back on. So it's kind of weird that there's like a real, there's a different weight to different punishments for probably the same.
Yeah, the equity is not the same for everybody, right? I mean, I agree.
Yeah.
But do you think it should be? I mean, let's put this in perspective for more of a utility type of thing, utilitarianism. Do you think that the people that have a higher amount of sub base, people that have a large audience, do you think they have a higher degree of trying to adhere to the terms of service than somebody who just has like one sub? Now, obviously, you know, the utility is that they have a larger market, so that a lot of people can be affected. Therefore, we should have to make sure that those people are the ones first putting out non-harmful, not vitriolic, not bigoted, not hateful speech, right? I get that. But at the same time, just because somebody got huge, like TJ Kirk, should we have different rules for him than, say, somebody like Kyle and I, who are just, you know, C-minus YouTubers for the most part?
We're a B-minus.
Yeah, we're B-minus now. You know what? We went up. We're B-minus now. That is true. Go look on social media. Yes.
But you have to look at this, too. I think this comes into play. You have to look at the, like, just the type of human being that you're dealing with, I think, because I think that carries a lot of weight too. Like if you're just a shitty human being, then you're probably going to get those rocks thrown at you a lot more. And you're probably going to be the first target when they go looking for one. And for somebody that says that can look at a family that has just lost their elementary school age children in a school shooting and call them a hoax and say that it was staged and just this sick and disgusting. I mean, you bring it on yourself when these things come around, I think. I mean,
it's hard to have sympathy, right? I mean, it really is.
Absolutely.
Well, but then again, it's hard to have sympathy with the mainstream media.
You and your mainstream media.
Alex Jones isn't entirely wrong about them. They do.
We all grant that. The mainstream media can suck.
We're talking about Sandy Hook.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about Sandy Hook. I mean, what he did to the families of Sandy Hook, I cannot imagine anybody trying to justify. If you try to justify that, I mean, come on, Chaz. That's beyond reprehensible.
I'm not justifying that. But again,
gotta hope not.
What makes Alex Jones Alex Jones, what gives him his power, is the fact that the mainstream media have been so dishonest and have...
Okay, we all agree mainstream media so sucks. What about them? We're not interested in those.
No, it's not really...
He is way more dishonest than the mainstream media. He is multitudes more dishonest.
Oh, yeah, epically so.
If you actually look at the stuff they do...
Oh, man.
Really?
No.
I'll tell you, Chaz,
he actively has gone after the families, the parents of children who died in Sandy Hook, saying that they're crisis actors.
Pizzagate.
He's picking at their funerals. He's told people to go and prevent these families from going to the grave sites to visit the grave sites of their dead children. He sends his followers over there, ask for photographs of their dead children to try to prove they had kids. That's not what the mainstream media does. No mainstream media has ever done anything like that.
But they've done stuff which...
Again, whataboutism?
No, it's not a whataboutism.
I'm kind of getting annoyed by this comparison of how bad things that Alex Jones has done comparison to the mainstream media. Yeah, nobody's a fan. Not, nobody here's a fan of the mainstream media, but that's not the point.
Representing what I'm saying. That's the thing. This is what I'm trying to get through to you, Steve. It isn't whataboutism. I'm not saying, but the mainstream media does worse. I'm saying the reason why, and I did say it, Alex Jones has so much power, is because of the lying that the mainstream media have done. And if we don't address this problem, yes, we might get rid of Alex Jones, but there'll be another Alex Jones and another one.
Okay, well, that's a different show altogether, I think.
What about him admitting that this is a show in his and we'll get more into this when Kelly Jones joins us, but he said in court that he was just an entertainer. It was all, you know, just an act. What about that?
Yeah, it makes money.
Yeah, I don't think Chaz actually buys into his bullshit.
But my point is, you have a man that is admittingly saying that he dupes people, and you can't compare that to companies like, even though you may have a quarrel with the mainstream media, and I'm sure that they do things that are off-putting, but they're not getting off air going, well, yeah, every Sunday morning on Meet the Press, I take those guys to the bank and the cleaners. I mean, there's not that level of dishonesty going on.
Oh, there is still quite a bit of different levels there going on. No, this is the point. Like things, so there's multiple ways that the mainstream media manipulates people. There's things like, for instance, the photographers that go around and take photos after there's been some sort of disaster or there's been some sort of war or conflict. And you know what they carry around in their little bag of tricks? They carry around things like children's shoes and a teddy bear they've singed with a lighter. And they take these things around to these various places and they put them there. And they take the photo to try and
make it more dramatic.
Yeah. And they use things like passive and active language. And because we've started to see just how much they manipulate us, and you know, the new thing now, sponsored content as well, making an advert news. It's
okay. The mainstream media sucks, and I'm not a fan of the 24 cycle media either. So again, I don't see what the hell this has to do with anything.
Throwing the shoe to make a picture more dramatic is leagues away from telling.
Yeah, I mean, this is absurd that you're trying to justify this by bringing the mainstream media trying to get a better picture or trying to like get a narrative from a picture.
They do stage news footage,
and not everybody does that. Not all the news things do that. And by the way, you're old enough to remember, Chaz, back in the day when news was actually news, right? I mean, they just reported the news. It was basically 5 o'clock news. You know, 5 o'clock news came on. They reported the news. But now with these 24-hour news cycles, they've got to add more content because they're doing it for 24 hours. Now, yeah, a lot of it's repeated. I think it has caused kind of corrupted the.
They need the news.
Yeah, go for it.
What do you think about the stuff like the Sandy Hook and the Pizzagate and all that? Where does that kind of sit with you?
You might have to unmute.
Sorry, my internet's a little messed up. Are you asking me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we want to get you in
too. All right. Well, the thing is, I mean, if Alex Jones is and they're not true, then the people should sue. That's pretty much what the James Alefantis did because he's the owner of Comet Ping Pong Pete.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you cut out Prometheus. Yeah. Can you say something else? Make sure we still got you.
No.
I think we're losing you, Prometheus. But if you can hear me,
wait, fight.
But you're
yes, I can hear you.
Okay, so okay. You're talking about James Alefantis, who owns Ping Pong Pizza, who did try to sue because of the damages, right? Yeah. Okay. His internet connection's not great. But anyways, what he's talking about is because Alex Jones instigated, I think, exacerbated this narrative of Pizzagate, which I think was completely started from a 4chan or whatever bullshit. It had no reality whatsoever, but he wanted to play up this narrative. Some psycho went to Ping Pong Pizza and actually had a shotgun and I believe fired one single shot into the ceiling, if I'm not mistaken, trying to look for the supposedly hidden basement where these kids are being, you know, used for sex or sexual exploitation or something like that. From what I understand, that place doesn't even have a basement, right? But the owner tried suing. Now, I don't know the status of that suit. If somebody actually does in the live feed, because I think Prometheus lost his interconnection. So if James Alefantis, what's the status of the lawsuit? I have no idea at this moment.
But if, here's a hypothetical. If he'd have gotten deplatformed sooner, maybe that wouldn't have happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are, maybe this case of him getting, or violating the terms of service and getting banned will save another one of those instances from happening later on down the road.
Did it do more good than harm, basically?
Right.
Yes.
We all agree? Cool.
Yeah, no, awesome. No. Thank you for joining us tonight.
I don't think it necessarily stops harm. I think it goes back to that old idea of if you went back in time and killed Hitler, would you necessarily stop Auschwitz?
Well, no. You have the weirdest analogies. This is not analogous at all.
Think about it this way. Think about it this way, right?
Maybe.
You go back in time, you deeply platform Hitler at the beer hall push with a bullet to the back of his fucking brain.
Would it have hurt? Would it have hurt?
Would it stop Auschwitz? Could it make that whole situation...
But this is not
worse.
Some kind of retrocausal thing. We're talking about going forward, right? We're talking
we can look at analogies in the past, and we can look how that would bear on it.
Okay, but we're not talking about going back in time, Chaz.
This narrative.
But we don't know.
You don't know, right? You have no idea. I mean, it's a completely...
Exactly.
It's a hypothetical.
That's why I'm making about your argument, too, saying... It could have saved somebody.
I admit that this is a hypothetical, but this hypothetical is something that we're actually dealing with in the present.
Can it hurt, though? That's my question. Like, if you go back in time and you shoot Hitler, would it have made it worse or would it have hurt? That's my question to you. It would have it wouldn't have made it worse. Let me.
I don't think so. Now, is there a possibility? Minor. The odds are greatly that it would have done more benefit than harm.
Right. It wouldn't hurt.
I don't know that. Because you don't know.
I didn't say I knew that. I said the odds are. I'm making a probabilistic argument, not an epistemic certainty argument.
Hitler wasn't the worst voice in that fucking choir. Trust me, there are far worse people who could have been calling the shots than Hitler.
Who are the worst voices that we have now? You alluded to them earlier in the show when you said that there were people out there that were worse than Alex Jones? Who is worse in your opinion than Alex Jones?
I'd start off by going the Rupert Murdoch media.
Rupert Robert Murdoch.
You do not like the mainstream.
Yeah,
media.
Fox News is not your friend, is it?
Is there anybody
else? Murdoch. Wow. Okay.
The News of the World phone hacking.
Rush Limbaugh.
The fact that they printed lies about
Glenn Beck. How about Glenn
the
Beck?
Miners' strikes, and they printed like lies about the.
I used to.
People killed in the Liverpool Stadium thing.
Okay, so are you telling me that there are people on Fox News that are worse than Alex Jones? Now, don't get me wrong, I cannot stand Fox News, but are you saying that there are people on Fox News more dangerous than Alex Jones?
I'd say the whole organization's a lot more dangerous.
This sounds like conspiratorial theories to me.
I mean, look at Peter Ducey, right? Okay, that walking penis with a tie.
Ducey. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of him. He's my least favorite on Fox, and I do watch Fox. I'm not going to lie, but in small portions. But him,
worse
I can't stand. He is insufferable.
Hannity, you're right. Okay, yes, Hannity is worse.
Hannity
than
used to be okay. I think agree. Hannity wasn't as bad as he is now. I don't know what that'll happen, but even Glenn
what
Beck,
about
I say
Glenn Beck.
I used to like Glenn Beck too, but I used to like Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, he's not on Fox anymore. He's too crazy for them.
But I saw Glenn Beck. Let me tell you this. I saw Glenn Beck in a he was doing his thing at the Blaze, and he had Penn Jillette there, and they were having a conversation back and forth, and they were talking about atheism, and you know. I was taking what everybody was saying about Glenn Beck without actually watching it. But when you actually watch him, he's not that bad. Like, he's middle of the road.
Not anymore. No, I don't think he's middle of the road anymore. I think he's actually gone full right. And I think that, like, for example...
I think he's more right than... Yeah, I think he's more right than liberal. Yeah. But I'm saying he's not, like, what you see on Fox News now right. Like, he is he's more libertarian, I guess. He's more, you know, just...
Yeah, I mean, he's the lesser of them all, right? I mean, I think that, like you said, Ducey is far worse, but... Yeah.
Glenn Beck's like he's strange, kind of likable. He's not.
He has some weird beliefs, though. I don't know specificities, but I remember some back. I was like, what the hell is Glenn Beck trying to push this narrative for?
But he's vehemently against Trump. Like everywhere you see him on the news now, he's like trying to get people to go up against the. So I mean, he's never really gave a fuck what people thought about him, which is what I can respect about him.
Yeah, I think he's less of a pundit than like Hannity.
Yeah, what'd you say, Prometheus?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I guess I haven't been paying attention to him lately. He joined Trump. He put on the MAGA hat on on one of his Blaze.
He took it off too.
One of his Blaze lights. So he's a Trump guy now.
Well, but no, he's not now though. Like I think he at first was going for Trump, but he was able to come out and say that was a mistake because he was on. It was CNN the other day, that Brian guy that does the reliable sources.
Oh, it's about a month. Brian Stelter?
Yeah. He was doing an interview with him and he was starting to go in that direction. And then Brian brought up this like, there's something going on with your, something that worked, somebody that worked at the Blaze. And Glenn Beck threw a tantrum, was like, see, I come on these things and I try to tell you what you guys need to do to get this country back on track, and all you want to do is bring up water cooler drama, and he throws his mic down and he storms off. So I mean, Glenn Beck don't give a fuck anymore.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, so Sean Hannity.
Yeah, so how much of my
go ahead?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Do you think it's an internet break?
I don't know.
Yeah,
Prometheus, we're getting every other word from you, buddy. Can you climb?
I guess it's my internet. I'm sorry.
Are you on Wi-Fi or direct connect?
Wi-Fi.
That's
climb on top of your roof and
that's probably it.
Metal.
Yeah, get closer to your router. Stick your finger like this. It works. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, not really. Yeah. Actually, if you wrap your head in tinfoil, it might work. All right, try now for me. Let's see if we can hear you.
All right. How much of my answer of the Alex Jones Pizzagate stuff did you guys get?
Not much, if any.
I'm sorry.
There you go.
Let me see if I can start over. I mean, well, when it comes to the Pizzagate stuff, the Pizzagate, the Chobani, and the Sandy Hook thing, I mean, is everyone, they've either sued him or are currently suing him. And that's the best thing you can do because slander and defamation, they're not protected under free speech. So you can pursue
absolutely
avenues.
Yeah, no, so I think he should be held fiscally responsible.
Should the platforms have to put up with him saying that on their platform is the bigger question. Like, should Facebook have to deal with him saying this stuff
through a
Facebook medium?
I don't know, but then what if it's a company that has opinions that they don't agree with your opinions? Then they can say, well, we don't like what you're saying, even though...
You could.
Right.
They're a private organization. Yeah. Facebook right now said we want to become a right-leaning whatever. They theoretically could. They would lose half their business, and obviously they would lose a lot of funding, which is a bad business decision, but they could.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, not really. Let's say they turn on a minority.
That's not federally protected class. No. Totally different. That's a federally protected class. You have to, when you're engaged in certain business practices, you have to abide by certain federal statutes, which means you have to provide commerce to all people, regardless of sex, creed, color. There's federally protected things. Now, obviously, there's
but that's artistic.
But then, what do you mean?
I mean, like an ideological minority.
They could.
You attack things like that. Like, let's say atheists. Yeah. We're among a minority. It'd be very, very... You wouldn't lose a lot of business getting rid of the atheists.
If Facebook wanted to become a religious organization, I'm sure they could.
Sure as hell could.
I don't know how that would work. I'm not into corporate law, but...
But you not see it. If a company that's got the same sort of political influence over the social narrative as Facebook does, you talk about Alex Jones' 6 million, then surely... them engineering the narrative that's spoken itself becomes a hot issue.
Well, I'll tell you how much I believe in people's like rights. And I was really torn with the whole the cake issue with should businesses be forced to, you know, bake a cake for a gay couple. I myself am gay, and I can't say that they should be forced to do that. I think that you should have.
There's two sides to that, dude. Though it's because the reason why the courts actually sided against that was because they're saying that making a cake is artistic, and because if you're consigned to do a expression of art for somebody that says, hey, you know, somebody comes to me and says, Steve, I want you to make a painting for me. By the way, don't ever do that because I suck at it. Then I could decide who I want to. I don't have any criteria for that. That's my personal artistic license to say, you know what, I don't like you. I don't, whatever the reason is, I can give. I don't have to make a painting for you. But if I have a business where I'm selling hot dogs or something, then I can't make those kinds of things. Now, so the cake, however, they say that because of the way they do the cakes and the design and all that, that falls under artistic license.
And yeah,
that kind of has a point.
Yeah, that makes sense. But my point from it is, though, that I don't think that we should ever get to a point where we're forcing people to do things that, as much as I am I'm a anti-theist and I believe in I would love less religion, the less religion the best, I still wouldn't want to infringe on somebody who is religious if they honestly felt that, you know,
but
what I mean,
this is the point. Okay, it's one baker not baking the gay cake today, it's then tomorrow potentially 90% of bakers won't bake a gay wedding cake.
I know.
And that's the danger, right?
You have to worry about monopolies.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm all for like businesses having autonomy on their how they do their business. I think they should have a lot of autonomy how they run it. However, that does run into the problem. Look at if the market is going to be what decides who goes where for what. If I say, hey, look, I have a decision between store X and store Y. Store X does this to help gay people. Store Y, they're against gay people or something like that. I, as a consumer, can make those decisions. Fair enough. That's free capitalism. However, by allowing the store X to make decisions against certain types of protected federal classes, now you run into the risk of, like Chaz said, if all the companies started doing that, then what?
Sure. But it's not a smart business move because no one does things like us gays. So it's...
Gays spend money, baby. Gays spend money just like anybody else.
I mean, that's the thing. And I mean, if we're talking about it, just one town baker, yeah? It's different to, say, sure, Walmart wanting to ban homosexuals from shopping at Walmart.
Sure.
I agree.
That has a wider implication.
Where I'm torn. I cannot say that I'm snugly in one camp or the other. I can just appreciate the... the desire to not want to be forced to by the government to do any, you know what I'm saying? Like to have the government tell you that you have to do X.
Like you have to give jobs to women, or you have to allow blacks at your university.
I don't see.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of affirmative action, anyways. I mean, and I don't think there. Okay, let me rephrase this. I was at one time, and only for the fact that one time it was needed. Affirmative action served its purpose. I think now it's starting to be something that needs to be phased out, because the purpose that it was to serve was to get equal rights for everybody, to have especially. By using equity, by giving those who need what to make sure we're all at the same level playing field. Equity and equality are not exactly the same thing. But mm-hmm. I think now we're at least a lot more in society at that point, and we need to be weaning away from that, because now it actually is more racist, and I think, to somebody like somebody, a black person, to say, look, we're going to hire you because you're black, not because you're skilled. If I was black, I would take that very offensively, right?
Right, it's reverse racism.
It's not even reverse racism so much. I mean, if I was like a black and white person, and I say, "Hey, look, I'm gonna take the black person over the white because I have a quota."
No, that's not. See, that's what people make the mistake of. Reverse racism actually is where you do positive things for somebody
because of their skin color. Well, yeah, same thing. That is exactly my point. I'm hiring him as a positive thing because he's black, right? And again, I would be offended that somebody hired me because of my skin color,
exactly.
Regardless.
That's reverse racism.
I want to be hired on my qualifications.
Being racist to white people isn't the reverse of racism. Being racist to white people would just be being racist. It's not reverse racism.
So complicated.
That's the point. But this is another thing. It's
how we got over here from Alex Jones breaking terms of service. How did we get here, Steve?
I don't know.
Oh,
and there's another.
Who are you asking?
He's asking me, but I'm not sure. I don't know how we keep on going back to things that are kind of irrelevant to, I think, to the conversation. As far as, do we all agree now, though, that YouTube has? By the way, stop messaging me, people, please. I'm getting these beeps left and right, I'm producing this, so every time you send me something, it's going to be heard. So please stop sending me instant messages. The Alex Jones, we all agree that YouTube clearly did have the right to do this. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. And I think that I and Kyle have the position that we're okay with that. We think that they made the right decision because of what he does affects society as a whole. Okay. But Chaz, do you not understand that because of his influence, because of his range, and because of the fact that, as Prometheus has pointed out, people are suing him for slander, which means that he is done something against them egregiously to cause harm in some way, because it gets slander or libel in writing, you need to show harm. You need to show that you've suffered some way. You've had damages, right? So he has possibly committed legal things that have caused damage to people. Should YouTube look past that?
Well, that's a civil matter.
Should they look past? Look, of course it's a civil matter.
That's between him and the people. They're not responsible for that.
If I bully Kyle and I say, hey, everybody, right now, go to Kyle's house and stand outside do something that's not illegal, but do something that is harassing him.
Hug me,
it's
to
a
death,
civil, yeah.
Tickle me.
You know, that's a violation, right? I mean, decency for the most part. But I cannot, in good conscience, think that YouTube could support somebody causing somebody else damage or harassment and cyberbullying, especially cyberbullying.
Why do you sit back and take it? Why does YouTube have to sit back and go, well, I can't do anything? YouTube's going, no, fuck you, not on here. Bye.
They can remove that video.
It's a way of YouTube.
They can remove that particular bit of speech.
Hold on.
Remove the speaker entirely. That's a different issue.
What'd you say, Prometheus?
No. Yeah, I was asking, but you know, the YouTube strike system, like when you do violate their terms of service, you do get strikes. So
he did get striked. Yeah, and he had strikes before.
He had four strikes.
Yeah, no, he had like one strike, but then they seemed to pass the second and third strike and then just kick him off.
No,
so I think that does kind of.
Four videos that struck. The two against hate speech against Muslims, one against transgender, and then one pushing the child to the ground.
And I think if he would have, correct me if I'm wrong, Kyle, but if he would have just kept them down, took them down, didn't talk about them, do you think this would have gone away?
I don't know. That's hard to tell. That's hard to tell. But I mean, he did have four videos that got struck. So they did go through the the proper, you know, succession of. But the thing is, he agreed to this, guys.
I mean, I don't know. If they took them all down at once, I would probably just put that as strike, though. If I were
no, they're individual things.
Yeah, if you go right now to our channel and you hit, please don't do this. But if you hit four different videos to strike, those will count as four different strikes.
But not just that. That doesn't actually do much. If enough people flag a video, right, or if it's egregious, depending on what you do, somebody actually goes to review it. They have trusted flaggers, and they'll go and look at it and go, oh, man, yeah, this is clearly a violation. And they'll support it, or else they'll just ignore it. It depends on the severity of the thing. If you do it from your account and you are malicious about it, you can't actually have damages to your own account. You can actually get reprimanded for that from YouTube. So you want to make sure you're not false flagging. And by the way, even if there's not repercussions from YouTube, as we're witnessing as we speak over the last week, if Kai wants to mention it, there are certain channels that have gone and false flagged, and it has destroyed their channel. Monday Matt, as people may know, he went out and he lost his shit, decided to false flag a bunch of stuff, and his subs have gone down dramatically. He's losing thousands of subs a day, basically.
The thing is, guys, at the end of the day,
he lost 6,000 in a couple weeks.
Agreed to the recourse that these platforms would take if they felt he was in violation of their terms of service. Like, he knowingly entered into creating his channel, creating his Facebook page, that if he put something up that they deemed would violate their terms of service, he would lose it. It's not like it was a surprise to him. Like, he agreed to the punishment up front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really see much justification to say that YouTube wasn't within their guidelines, and especially did they make the wrong decision. I mean, if this was any one of us and we put hate speech out, we wouldn't even get a second level review.
But let's go not in the formal conversation for a second, though. Let's just talk on a real level here. You work at YouTube, and you hear Alex Jones every single day talking about how you work for demons and devils and YouTube. Of course, they're going to wait for the first opportunity to pop you down.
I can't really fault them, to be honest with you. I kind of, again,
hell yeah, they're going to do that.
We're all humans, and they are a business to make money. And when you're talking about their livelihood, you're talking about what makes them money, and if it's done by malicious intent and slanderous and libelous, if you write it, and if you do these things knowingly and willfully, I don't see a reason why they shouldn't go around going, how do we get rid of this guy for the terms of service? I would be personally okay with that.
Demon and Obama. Yeah. He called Michelle Obama trans, talked about Michelle Obama's penis as a trans.
That's one conspiracy theory I actually think is really funny.
No, it was Steve. It was disgraceful.
It's hilarious, actually.
You know what the problem is? People started taking people like Alex Jones fucking seriously.
Yeah, of course they
started. Of course, as you said, more people are rational nowadays. Of course they did.
Look at Donald Trump. People say that same thing about Donald Trump. Oh, you should take him. He wasn't being literal. He was being,
I mean, literally, like, people actually take this nonsense seriously. Like, I swear, years ago, like somebody like Alex Jones would have just gotten laughed at by everybody. Nobody would have taken him seriously. And I mean, the thing is, so instead of banning him, because like I say, you turn him into a martyr, then you kind of help I'm being
big
repressed.
Deal. Dude, he's a martyr. He had
what
6 million
to the last martyr.
Yeah, he had millions of subs. You think this is gonna really change his standing among his thing? No, he's not going to become a martyr out of it. It's not going to change a damn thing. I mean, he may lose some subs, might lose some viewers, and he has his own platforms.
He's not going to gain
a bunch of people, and the fanatics that he has aren't going to be whipped up in the state of treating him like Joan of Arc.
I don't know. That brain force I hear is some mighty potent shit.
He needs to tap into the incel market. That's what he needs to do.
There you go.
He can get good at fighting force from that shit.
That's a horrible idea. Can you imagine incel armies marching through the streets? Of-
yeah, there you go, Alex. There you go. Get your idea from me. Go ahead, take that. Right, get the incel army.
Oh man, I'm sorry, America.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what time is it, Steve? I've lost track of time.
It is 6:23 my time, so 9:23 your
Let's
time.
Let's open it up to some questions.
Okay.
Live chat.
Live chat. Let me take this one. This isn't a question, this is a statement, but since we're talking about the live chat, somebody had actually said that we're committing the appeal of authority fallacy. No. Let me explain to you all what the appeal of authority fallacy is. Well, I mean, I don't like to do fallacies, but there's nothing. There's nothing. We are not saying that YouTube is what YouTube has done is true. It's not a proposition, right? We're saying that we support the decision based upon the evidence for the reasons they made the decision. Oh, shoot, there goes my layout. Wish you hadn't done that.
I'll take over while you fix the the screens. Then I'll let you jump back in.
Okay.
Hello. This is your the guy that doesn't. Well, it doesn't really try to follow the whole fallacy thing, because I'm constantly getting them called out by Steve to me. But this was called the... Wait, Steve. I think he popped back in.
Yeah, but I already deleted the Windows.
Okay. Might just want to...
I think I'd have to reset it anyway, so...
Yeah. Okay, so... yeah. I don't know why people can't have conversations anymore without it resorting into...
Well, I don't mind if people put forth a fallacy of noting a fallacy. The problem is they don't put it forth correctly, right? There's no fallacy to be given. A fallacy of the appeal authority would be if I appeal to authority that's not actually an expert, or the expert has not had time to review it, or I say P is true because X says it and he's an authority. That's not what we're saying. We're not saying YouTube has set a proposition that makes it true. What we're saying is that we support the decision based upon the evidence.
Were we right, though, Steve?
I believe so. That's why I stand by the decision.
Okay. But yeah, let's open up to some questions. If you guys have any questions, feel free to ask them now. Like I said, we will be getting back to you guys when we finally get that interview booked and ready to go. So that's exciting.
I'm just going to do a straight monitor capture, because for some reason this isn't capturing, and we're toward the end anyway, so... I know it kind of kills our layout, but it'll be like the after show stuff. It's just going to be easier for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're just answering questions right now anyway.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Ask away. This is a rare moment where you don't have Steve or I having to close out right now. We can kind of be chill and learn a little bit about each other. What do you want to know, Steve?
I need to know how I'm going to... look at the live chat while I'm doing this. Okay, so I think I got it now. So give me 1 second. Talk amongst yourselves. Okay, live chat. So they want to know about the gay frogs. I am a big fan of gay frogs. I think the world needs more gay frogs. I'm not against there being gay frogs. I'm not homophobic, and therefore I think that if gay rights should extend to people, that should also extend to frogs. Go gay frogs.
Yeah, I don't see the gay frog issue as being a game changer or one that's going to end the planet.
So. But you know he's got to be a Poe when he reaches that level of absurdity, right? Like you mentioned earlier that he has a lot of hyperbole. And
did you know there is actually some validity to this?
Yeah, I know. I know the story, right? I understand the chemicals. I understand that certain animals can change their genders
But it's 2018. But, they can be whatever they want. I mean,
yeah, they're free to, right? I mean, this is America, goddammit.
In 2018.
Yeah. Okay, let's see what other questions we got here. Steve, will you UECCET in the Navy? I have no idea what that means, so I'm going to say no.
In the Navy.
I was just about to do that same thing.
Oh, we're all... Miss Snarky. I love you, Miss Snarky. She says, y'all but nothing but contrarians. Or contractarians. I'm sorry. Oh, that was from the other night. Contractarianism.
Oh, no.
That's hilarious. Somebody had... You guys may not know this, but we had a really shit show on my channel the other night. And
It's a gym.
And somebody had asked us about contractarianism, and I briefly explained what my opinion was on contractarianism was, and they said, well, I don't know really what it is, but, and I'm like, well, why are you, because they're accusing us of contractarianism, and then when I explained to them, they're like, well, I really don't know what it is. I've never looked at it.
Shirtless, no less.
Then why are you accusing us of it? Okay, interesting.
Shirtless, no less. Getting accosted while shirtless.
All right, what other questions you got here? Can you guys get Sticks and Hammer 666 on? Possible. I don't know. I've never talked to Sticks and Hammer. I'd be okay with it. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of him, but I'm nothing against him. I just never really watched any of his stuff. Oh, he's very smart. Yeah.
I don't agree with him, but he's very smart.
I'm neutral, I guess, toward him. Sure.
I don't have a problem with anybody coming on this show except for people like Richard Spencer.
That'll never happen.
And I don't care what when people say, oh, you would that's censoring or whatever. Sure, whatever. We're not letting some racist asshole on this show, period. That's just the way that it is.
Yeah, I don't see the need to give racist people a platform. Like, there's certain things that are not really worth having discussions about. And to me, things like race realism is one of them. I do not engage in race realism discussions. There are discords out there that people can go to for that. There are shows out there for that.
There are plenty of channels that have been
plenty
on there.
Of channels. I don't need to get involved with that. If somebody else wants to, be my guest. I think that kind of discussion's just...
I would rather sit in a room full of flat earthers and hear them for a day talk to me about flat earth than 5 minutes in a room with Richard Spencer.
Yeah, I'm in that same boat too.
So,
Jazz, what do you think about that?
Well, like I said, the best way to deal with Nazis isn't to go punching them, right?
It's not.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that either. I know Richard Spencer got hit, but look at
it's not just about.
I don't disagree with that, but I'm not a fan of violence when it comes to that kind of stuff. But do I think he deserved it? Yeah, of course.
No one's a fan of violence, but I mean, if it's going to be there anyway,
it's more the point of when you punch the Nazi, and the Nazi goes back and does the help, I'm being repressed, and it plays into their narrative. It doesn't make them weaker.
I wouldn't punch a Nazi. No, you don't understand. People don't punch Nazis to make them weaker. People punch Nazis because it makes themselves feel better because they're assholes.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't give a shit if they're standing or they're persecution porn. That makes no difference to me. If I punched a Nazi, it's because, oh, hey, this guy's a fucking Nazi and I'm going to knock the shit out of him. However, I'm a pacifist, so I don't advocate that. And I'm not really a pacifist, but I don't advocate
for
punching
every
Nazis.
Action, there is a... There's a reaction.
Now, I got to tell you this. Let me add a little caveat here. Just by being a Nazi, you shouldn't get punched. However, if you're a Nazi and you advocate certain things that cause harm to people, like, you know, lynching or whatever like that, I'm okay with it.
What's the difference, though? If you're a Nazi, then you obviously...
Because once it's a political idea, there's a difference between a call to action and beliefs. And I don't want to be a thought police, right? People have shitty beliefs. And I don't think they should really be hurt or physically... harmed because of just beliefs. However, those beliefs become a call to action, then, you know, I'm not going to really have
I'm
that kind
of
position.
But I'm saying that as soon as you don the moniker of Nazi, you're automatically assuming that call to action. Otherwise, why would you become a Nazi?
Fair point, because I will concede a little bit on that. One of the platforms of Nazism is kind of an inherent call to action, right? I mean, to keep the white, man pride, race, the 14 words, genetic purity, whatever the hell that bullshit is.
Right. It's bizarre. Anyway.
Somebody want to know what race realism is. Basically, in a nutshell, race realism is kind of the belief that race is not just a cultural or societal construct, right? That there are fundamental differences between people that have one race and another. So the realism effect that has taken place genetically and using emotional and intelligent quotients. I think it's complete bullshit myself.
It is. You know who can debunk that? Who is a he actually specializes in this a little bit, Dr. Seigart.
Yeah, Seigart. Yeah,
he can explain to you why that is absolute bullshit.
So. Yeah, Dr. Mays could as well. He's in the live chat. Yeah, I don't know of any biologist or geneticist that would say that blacks and whites are considered to be actually distinct individual races, such that they're distinguishable in any biological sense.
Social construct.
Well, there
it's a social construct. Yeah.
There are ways in which the races can be told apart.
Well, yeah, we have phenotypical differences. That's not the point. I'm just saying, even genetically, we can say there's different races, but the point is that they're not something along the lines of like speciation or breeds or anything like that.
We're
all humans.
Not
we're one
quite,
race.
Not quite as certainly expressed as you'd find in, say, dog breeds. Because there's been a lot of interbreeding. If there had been a lot more if there had been less migration, then I think you'd find way more pronounced differences between those two groups.
Like I said, I'm not really a fan of those kinds of narratives. Even if they held any kind of truth, I think they don't really... I don't think there's anything to promulgate the conversation.
What I'm saying is that there are differences, whether or not most of these differences add up to anything significant is more of the argument. But there are small little differences.
Well, I mean, genetically, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think African-Americans have a higher propensity to receive, like, sickle cell anemia, right? And higher degree to be less chance of being lactose, higher chance of being lactose intolerant, so they don't have lactase persistence. So there are some fundamental things.
white people are missing the dance gene.
Yeah, right, dude. I was born with that was a defect I had. I was born without the dance gene. So I'm telling you, I'm up for CRISPR. Can CRISPR actually edit in a dance gene for me? Is that possible? Hey, Dr. Mays, you're in the live chat. Do you think that's possible?
Dr. Mays, by the way, I wanted to know if you saw the post that I put in your honor last night from
Joe. He did.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna read it to the audience. Joe, after following the debate, if you watched the after show from last night, Joe, actually in the previous episode, Joe was in the Joe Against Viruses. He and Dr. Mays had an exchange. While Joe was on the show, Dr. Mays was in the live chat, and Joe was kind of prodding Dr. Mays to have a debate with him. And it picked up again last night. We were in the after show. Dr. Mays was in the after show. Brilliant biologist. Absolutely brilliant. By the way, perfect time to plug. Dr. Mays will be taking on Dr. Nathaniel Jensen on September the 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern. It will be centered around replacing Darwin, which is Dr. Jensen's replacement to Darwin, the origin of species. So that will be on September the 5th. But anyways, Joe was prodding him again. Let's have a debate. Let's talk about evolution. I can disprove evolution with my eyes closed. So after the show is over, I get a message on Facebook from Joe that says something about sleep time. I've got to go to bed. And it ends with, make sure I debate Mays. And I said, I said, Joe, I want to sleep with Channing Tatum. You and I have the same probability of getting what we want.
You so maybe and more.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so too. I think so too. I think if Channing could only just get this video.
I'll reach out to him. I think he's married. Isn't he married?
Who cares?
Like to a woman. Yeah. Minor detail. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You're an atheist. You don't care about adultery. It's okay. No moral standard.
Oh. Okay. Oh.
But you know what? Maybe his wife's into that thing. Who
the
knows,
agnostic's
right?
Agnostic's gonna talk shit, huh? Okay.
So
I'm just kidding. Everybody knows you're an atheist.
Mays did see that, by the way. I just forgot to tell you. His response, I believe, was something along the lines of, what did he say? Unbelievable or something like that. I don't remember the exact word he used, but he was just like, yeah, okay.
Dr. Mays, if you want to debate him, I mean, we will oblige.
Oh, good God. I think that would diminish the level of standard.
There's
Dr.
no
Mays
way
has.
We would let him debate.
I mean, that would just be what would be the advantages of something like that? That'd be like kicking a cripple kid or getting in a a kicking fight with a one legged cripple.
Nothing. He's no, absolutely not. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean what bothers me the most is that there's only two things that I can think of that's happening. That either Joe literally believes what he believes, and because of that, I think he has severe cognitive and mental dysfunctions. I think that something needs to be done. I think he needs to be assessed. Or he's just lying his ass off. Maybe a combination of
virus.
Both.
I think he believes the virus. I think the dinosaur...
Where does it stand? I mean, why justify one over the other?
Here's my theory. I think that... I had Trevor Valley booked when I announced Christians Against Dinosaurs on Joe's episode. Right. So Joe mentions in the show, well, I don't believe in dinosaurs either. I think that he recognized Trevor wanted to get in on that and just was.
Oh, but do you not think that shows some kind of weird thought process?
I think it shows that he's got a channel. He believes in conspiracies. He's trying to promote it. I don't think there's anything deeper than that. I just think that
he's... All right, so he's latching on to this other one, not caring whether it's true or not, just to promote the ones that he does care about.
If you come out against viruses, what do you have to lose by coming out and saying that fossils aren't real? I mean, that's not a big step. It's a step sideways, actually.
What do you have to lose by having fine dining of your boogers on camera for a half hour?
That's a whole other issue that I am forgetting about. I don't want to get that image in my head again.
We're so sorry about that, people. I didn't know what to fucking do.
But yeah, this was just an attention grab. Totally. It wasn't, I don't think that his reasons.
That's probably true.
Just bullshit. I
definitely think that there's some validity to that. Absolutely.
Because you can't go out in your yard in Connecticut and dig for a dinosaur. Dinosaurs aren't real. Get the fuck out of
here. Dr. Mays makes a good point. He's actually said he has no real argumentable way of saying a reason why he's even debating Jensen. And to a point, he's right. But I think that there's a bigger point to be made, and I think that Dr. Mays obviously agrees with us because he agreed to do this debate, that when you have somebody of Dr. Mays' level of expertise that can actually show in real time when when Daniel Jensen actually wants us to review his book. I mean, he sent me a copy. He sent Kyle a copy. We're lay people, but you know what? He still wants to know if a lay people person got to understand it, because that's, I think, what he kind of tried to write it for. But to have an expert to come in and say, hey, look, these are the mistakes that you made on live YouTube, where he has a chance to respond, I think that can do some great good for the overall, us showing why Younger Creations is so wrong. Yeah. Because I want to hear his answers just as much as anybody else. And by the way, Jensen is a nice guy.
To follow that, because religion is a staple here. You know what I'm saying? Like there's something to be done by opening up that door to have this conversation on this book. Because you're either going to have people on both sides of the camp. The ones that coming into it know that it's crap. The ones coming into it knows that it's the gospel. But you're going to be targeting those in the middle that are like, you know, leaning one side or the other. They don't know. They're kind of questioning. And to be able to tap into that is a golden opportunity. And to kind of, so that everybody can have a better grasp on it, we're having John Perry from Stated Clearly. Brilliant channel. If you haven't, if you're not subscribed, go subscribe, because it's
Stated Clearly is amazing.
Yeah. It's fantastic. And so he's going to come in on that Tuesday, the debate's on a Wednesday. He's going to come in on Tuesday and go through the main points of the book in a way kind of like his episodes that I can understand. I this is geared towards me. Like Wednesday will be geared towards.
He can really make good.
Tuesday's my day.
Yeah, he can really make very good presentations. Matter of fact, if you go to State of Clary's video, especially his one on evolution, it's called Evolution something or other. Go look in the comment section. You'll probably see more of my comments on that particular video than anybody else's. And I think I still have, like four threads on there that reach 500 comments.
Misses an opportunity.
So that was one of that was one of the main videos that I started YouTube on. I love that video. Stated Clearly has amazing content, and he relates things so easy for people to understand.
Right. So. It's going to be a good week. That we're calling that week Answers in Science Week. We'll be off that Monday because of Labor Day, but we have something lined up each day of the week to kind of coincide with that. We've got the Replacing Darwin debate, Replacing Darwin Stated Clearly. We've got an actual presentation on Decoding Darwin, which will be about Darwin himself. We're going to get Aaron Ra on. So and maybe that'd be a good week to bring Trevor on too. That'd be a great.
Yeah, because Trevor definitely wants to come back. I mean, you can tell he had a fun time.
Are there any more questions before we...
Let's see here.
I hate that we didn't get any juicy questions. This is disappointing.
Not really any questions. We got a couple super chats.
Read them.
Okay. First one, Cookie Nibbits, $5. When is violence called for? It is better to stomp fascism in the early stages or passively allow it to grow? Antifa versus Nazis, 2017 versus 2018. Well, this is my thing. First of all, I personally think Antifa should be labeled a terrorist organization, right? I do not think that they are anything but a bunch of terrorists. I don't stand for what they do. I think they try to stifle free speech by committing acts of violence. So I don't think violence is ever called for unless it's in defense, to prevent something, to respond to something. But for when it comes to speech issues, no, I'm not into being violent because somebody has a different opinion with you, even if they're a Nazi. That doesn't qualify for me enough of a level to advocate for violence personally. Kyle? So what do you think of Antifa?
I'm with you, I think. I don't know if I'd go so far as to label them a terrorist.
I think they're borderline. I mean, they do some pretty messed up stuff.
I don't, but I mean, you know, my theory is it's better in the middle, and not middle in like you can't be passionate about things or you have to be indecisive. You don't have to be agnostic. Okay. No one has to live life.
I'm only agnostic on like one thing.
But what I'm saying is the extremes bother me because that's where you get your problems. It's always the Antifa and the Nazis. Those are the ones that are clashing. The people in the middle are just like, well, you're batshit crazy.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I am. Right. I mean, they're just different types of batshit crazy, right? I mean, right. Yeah.
Different,
I mean,
spectrum. It's the same thing with you know, you've got you got flat earthers on this end of the spectrum, and you've got young earth creationists on this end of the spectrum.
Both of them are still way on this end of the spectrum.
I just think that they just have different ideology. Their principles and stuff are placed in different ends of that
they're spectrum. Intricately related, though. I think there's a point to be made. They're just different levels of conspiracy nuttery. So
but all in all, like, I like the middle. I think the people who are in the middle are the ones that see that both sides are batshit crazy and don't want either one of them. Like, I don't want the mom that feels like she has to stay in the kitchen like it's 1950 over here. Mm-hmm. And I don't want the militant feminist over here marching up and down.
There's a happy medium to be had.
Yeah, there's like, just come to the middle.
Yeah.
If everybody comes to the middle, the world will be.
And even in the middle, you've got a range. So that's good, right? I mean, you could be a little left, you could be a little right on an issue. But even now, people have been telling me there's something that are called militant moderates. Okay.
Get the fuck out of here.
I don't know.
Stop it with the names.
People love throwing a label on things, right? They want to be able to, like, categorize people into these little compartmentalized terms, right? And sometimes you need to, but militant moderate? Andy. What the hell is that?
Did we lose Chaz?
Yeah. Oh. All right, Mr. Cookie Jr., $5. Stupid racists only understand violence. I'm over trying to reason with them. I don't think you can ever reason with a racist, to be honest with you. I think racists are, to me, there might be exceptions. I don't know. But to me, in my personal experience, no.
There's a guy, I forget the gentleman's name, but he's a black guy, and he does something with like blues music, but he goes around and he hangs out with Klansmen, wizards, and he does a thing where he befriends them, and he's got this rack in his room, and it's full of Klansmen robes. And what he does is they get to a point where that Klansman turns their robe over to him. And this past weekend, they did a special on him, and he actually walked the daughter of a former Klans wizard down the aisle at her wedding. And
I think that's great. And I should probably clarify, as somebody who's like on YouTube, I have no sway to do those kind of things, to influence people to get out of racism. I don't have the skill set. I don't have the knowledge. I'm just very anti-racist. But it's something that I really tackle on any of our platforms and forums. But if somebody can do that, like he's doing that, props to him, baby. Props to him.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Not every battle is to be fought by everyone.
Yeah,
you know?
We can't take on every atrocity of the world, right? Need in Your Head, $5 Australian. I found the perfect song for Alex Jones, Paul and Storm. Oh, no. I'm not familiar with it. I'll have to check it out. Are you?
I don't think so.
Paul and Storm?
I don't think I've heard of that.
Okay.
Mm-mm. I'll check it out, though.
But Prometheus, you got anything you want to add before we kind of wrap this up, brother?
No, I just want to apologize for my internet issues.
Oh, no worries.
I'm really glad that you guys are on. Thank you very much. I truly appreciate this.
So it totally happens. We'll figure it out once you get a little more stable connection. You know, we'll have you back on something else. One last super chat, Brian Stevens. The guy Kyle mentioned convinces people to leave the Klan. Antifa and people who punch Nazis grow the Patreon of the extremists like JP. That's a good point, Brian.
Very good point.
I think you're spot on that one, brother.
Very good point. But there is something to be said about sometimes a hug can end a war a lot sooner than any bomb.
You know what? Every situation is different. But I do got to ask, what the fuck happened to JP? When he first got on the scene, yeah. I mean, he wasn't some radical right winger as much. I mean, he probably had these views.
Talking about JF or JP?
JP. JP. What's his French name? He's talking about the what's his name? John?
JF.
Oh, who's JP? Oh, Jordan Peterson. Oh, I'm sorry. So many of them, right? So he's talking about Jordan Peterson, not JF. Okay. But still, and JP is an extremist. Yeah. Am I a fan of his? No. But he says a lot of things that I do occasionally go, that's a kind of an interesting point. But I think of a lot of his stuff as just pure rhetoric.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree with
him. And he's not a biologist, man. Don't get any biology shit from him.
I agree with him on some issues. His religious, like if you haven't watched the Matt Dillahunty and Jordan Peterson debate, you need to watch that. Because it's very rare that you get to see somebody take Jordan Peterson to task.
Matt did.
Matt Dillahunty took him to task.
Yeah, the best, my favorite question is when Ozzy asked, because our friend Ozzy went to that thing and he actually asked, you know, what in your mind would be considered to be what an atheist is. And, you know, he kind of launches this litany of War and Peace and Crime and Punishment it was.
You do the same thing to that question.
No, I wouldn't, because his the antagonist for War and Punishment is basically somebody without morals because he kills somebody and there's ramifications and all that other stuff. But that's not anything with atheism it is. And I think Matt Dillahunty did a wonderful job, like you said, taking him to task on that particular question, because he's like, no, that's not anything what we would expect an atheist to be. Because Jordan Peterson is trying to make this narrative that a true atheist has no moral compass. Therefore, whatever they do, they're going to feel comfortable with. That's not
right.
That's bullshit. So, well, but by the way, what did happen to JF? I mean, to get back on it. I mean,
JF. He's still around. He just.
But he lost it. I mean, he went nuts. I don't know. Like I said, he first got in the community.
When you're on that side, when you're on that side of the skeptic community, I guess you'd call it. You can't help but go through that phase of. You have to go through that crazy spell. I think,
I can't listen to him, dude.
The stuff that you expand upon, it rolls and it builds. Like with your audience, slowly but surely they start whipping up into that frenzy, because on that side, like if it's the alt-right, obviously they're going to be the more free speech, the more like using their free speech and saying things that are just outlandish. And I think you get caught up in that. He got caught up in that. And
but you think it did because he became like a little of a minor celebrity over it?
I don't know.
Like the attention?
I don't know. I don't like to get
on. Yeah, it's
like
hypotheticals, I know.
With Mundane Matt, I mean, you just, the smallest thing that can happen to you here on YouTube can trigger a chain of events that leave you in just a really bad situation. So,
and Monday, and we might have a talk on that, not on this particular channel. Well, we might on this channel, but I think we're on another channel. We're trying to arrange to be on a different channel, a couple different channels. But if you guys are not familiar with the whole Monday Matt thing, that was a chain of events that was just bizarre. But I think we'll save that for another show.
Yep, I agree. Okay. So thank you guys for joining us. Thank you once again, Prometheus. And I don't know what happened to Chaz, but maybe he went out to find the mainstream media.
So. Yeah, like I said, I've known Chaz a lot of times. People love him, people hate him. Chaz is not particularly subtle in a lot of the things that he says, so I know a lot of people are not big fans of his. But I can't get on board with a lot of things that he says. I honestly can't.
I think he means well, but his play stems from a he felt like he lost one of the independent media to the mainstream media. I think it's that thing. I think he sees this as a mainstream media win.
Yeah, I think you're right on that.
That's why he's going against it. But but nonetheless, we wish him well in his battle against George Soros. So guys, thank you for joining us. I know this was impromptu. I think it went really well. It was a good discussion, especially for a last minute thing. We will keep you posted on Kelly Jones, and we will be back here tomorrow at 8 p.m. for John Kroon, who has a fantastic presentation on exoplanets and the hunt for alien life using the Drake equation. And that's tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern, right here. Same bat time, same bat place.
Good night, all.